Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, because we got our very good friend, Aaron Ryan, on to do a trip report. Hey, Aaron, pull up a stool.
I'm glad to do it.
Yeah, we got a special visitor stool all dusted off and ready for you. And we will not make visitors buy to the pub this week. Me and Dennis will buy.
Well, I appreciate the hospitality.
No problem. Aaron's on. He's going to do a trip report with us. He was just down with his bride and his daughter, his little 7-year-old, and she was very, very surprised, wasn't she, Allie?
She was. Allie was very surprised because we didn't tell her until about an hour and a half before the flight to Orlando to go. So she had no clue in the months leading up to it. Once she woke up, she was thrilled to be going.
That's awesome. Just to ask you a question, Aaron. So just a little bit of background on your Disney life, if you will. Have you guys been going for years, or is this something you do frequently and you know, all that good stuff to kind of let the listeners know a little bit of your Disney history
Sure. Before
you get into your trip report?
Sure. So for me, growing up, I went a number of times with parents and brothers and sisters, and went a time or two with grandparents when we were little. Before my wife and I married, my last trip would have been 1996, whenever my twin and our two best friends went for a week for a high school graduation trip. We stayed at Port Orleans Riverside on that trip.
Good pick.
That's right. My parents were wise to do that. After that trip, I didn't go again until, I guess it would have been 10 years, in 2006, during my second year of law school. My wife had never been, so she and I went and spent a week there and had, you know, an adults-only trip.
Right.
And that was my wife's first time. After that, we didn't go again until 2014, whenever it was Allie's first trip. And since then, this was our third trip with her. I went on a separate time by myself and my brother and friend, where we went just for the day to try to ride every ride in one day.
Nice.
How'd you make out with that?
Well, I tell you, we were thrilled because we were the absolute first people in line at Hollywood Studios. And so that was nice to be the first folks. We made it through Hollywood Studios within 2.5-3 hours, went over to the Animal Kingdom, ran out of fast passes, and it was really hot and busy. And so our dream died around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And the Animal Kingdom will wear you out a little bit.
It did. And then we ended up going to Epcot and spent a few hours, and then went to Magic Kingdom until midnight that night, and then drove 5.5-6 hours back to Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it just sounds that you have a unique situation, at least the way I hear it, and that you seem to have started and stopped and with your Disney, maybe not Disney love, but at least traveling to the parks anyways. Certain things in your life happened. You had a kid, obviously, and that rekindled your desire to go back to Disney World. So that's a pretty unique story you have.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And my wife is not as big as a Disney fan as I am. I could go twice a year and be thrilled with it. My daughter would go with me. My wife is much more the once a year, once every 18 months to try to do some other things. And, you know, so I can't argue with her. She lets me go once a year, once every 18 months. I feel like I'm pretty lucky.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was funny, as I was booking your trip, it just so happened that I texted the stuff to you, and I didn't know you were surprised at your daughter. So luckily I didn't do anything to mess it up for you guys.
Yeah, no, and we were thrilled because she actually on her own started asking about going back to Disney World after we'd already sort of made plans. And so I was glad that she kind of of her own accord wanted to go back and started saying, hey, let's go back and ride Space Mountain and go see the characters. And so that made it better for us because we knew that independently she wanted to go.
Okay. It that makes it, and if she starts doing that, Aaron, it'll get you down there more often.
Well, that's the hope. That's the hope.
Yeah, you need to do what I did with my godson with the Disney gift card. Get her a gift card, and every time she does something good or does something, add a little bit to it, so that when her fun starts to add up, she'll be asking to go even more.
Yeah, that is not a bad idea at all. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I did that with my godson on the trips that we took him down. And every time he would do something, we'd add a little more. So this way, when he went down, we handed it to him, and he had a nice little chunk of change for himself.
Yeah, that's a very smart idea.
And it gives her a little incentive. He'd come over and clean up the pine cones. We'd throw $20 on him. You
oh,
know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Stuff like that. He was kind of, Uncle Doug, you need anything done?
That's right. Chip into the Disney fund.
Exactly. So you guys went down this trip, and I ain't going to guess because I know where you stayed. You stayed over at the Contemporary at the in the Garden Wings.
We did. We've stayed at the Contemporary ever since Allie's. The past three times we've gone, we've stayed at the Contemporary. And I think that's probably kind of what we'd call our home base now. And the driving factor of it is the convenience for the Magic Kingdom. When we go, if we go 4 days, we'll spend at least a day and a half, if not two full days at the Magic Kingdom. And so the convenience of being able to walk over is worth the price of admission for us.
Yeah, because you guys fly in. You're not like me where you're a car traveler. You guys fly in Magical Express, and you don't usually have a car for the week.
That's right. That's right.
And you said the Contemporary was the first resort you ever stayed on when you went to Disney World for the first time?
No, it's not. And I don't know where we stayed in, to be honest with you. My most recent, I guess, memory of where we stayed was whenever we went for the high school trip and stayed at Port Orleans Riverside.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. And then when my wife and I went to law school, we stayed at All-Star Movies. And then we've stayed at the most recent times it's all been the Contemporary.
Nothing. And was it all garden view, or did you stay inside, outside? What's your favorite so far?
Well, so the first time was the garden view. The second trip we took, we got to stay in the concourse area, which is my favorite. And then this past time was the garden wing. I like the concourse just because it puts me in the middle of Disney. And I like looking at the mural, and I just can never get over the monorail going through the hotel.
It's like a little kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time I see it, it just makes me happy.
It's like the eighth wonder of the world, right?
That's right. When it's working, that's right.
Exactly. No, it's pretty awesome. I mean, we've spent a lot of time at the Contemporary, day visits and stuff. We've never actually stayed there, but I feel like the Contemporary I do connect with because we just spent so much time there. And to your point, particularly jumping out of the Magic Kingdom, maybe to grab lunch or something, we always seem to be over there or at an event or at our favorite restaurant, the California Grill. So we always have great reasons to be at the Contemporary. So it's an awesome resort.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just the outline of it against the sky just sort of screams Disney World. And so it always puts me in the mood. I've been leaning on my wife to try to stay at the Wilderness Lodge.
You would like that. You'd like that a lot. I've been there. I like the outside garden wings on the Contemporary because I like the little bit off the beaten path because
sure.
I'm not a people person. I am, but I'm not. Like I know my limitations, if you follow me. And I like to be away, like I've always talked, because I like to discover things. I like to roam around, and it gives me the excuse to see more. Like I feel if I'm inside, I'm never going to go out there. If you're
right.
outside, you're always going to go in there because you want to get on the monorail. So I think you get to use more of the resort if you stay out in the garden wing.
That's probably true. But, you know, it is I clocked it this time. I went to get breakfast one morning. It was a half-mile walk round trip from the garden wing to the Contempo Cafe and back.
I'm in. You know me. Like I said at Riverside, you know how big that resort is.
Oh, yeah.
Put me on the far side. If they had a shed out further, if it was nice and it had running water, I would take it. I just want to roam through the resort. It's just how I am. So I enjoy that. So did you guys eat any? Did you eat it? Did you eat at the food court or anything at the Contemporary during the trip?
You mean to go day by day or just in all?
Well, you can go day by day. Where did you guys start? How did you start off your first day there?
So we flew in. Our flight from Atlanta left, I think, at 5:30 in the morning. And so we landed and got to, we were in the Contemporary checking in by 8 o'clock. And then we walked up to rope drop, essentially. Right as they were letting folks in, we were at the back of the crowd and just walked right in.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And so we went, and the first thing we did was rode Splash Mountain. And then we walked over to Gaston's Tavern and had cinnamon rolls for breakfast.
That's nice. Good. You so, can't beat that.
Yeah,
I guess. Champions.
That's right. I guess I would say it is a cinnamon roll because it was as big as my child's head. So we had that for breakfast, and then I spent some time in New Fantasyland. Did Little Mermaid, did Dumbo, the Barnstormer. And about that time, bodies started to crash because at that point we'd been up, I guess, 33 of the previous 36 hours.
And that's a long one.
Yeah, and so we walked back to the hotel and slept for about 2.5 hours. And got up, and I think at that point we did grab something out of the Contempo Cafe, a sandwich or something quick to eat on the run.
Okay.
And then from there, back to the parks, we had fast passes for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, the Seven Dwarfs, and I think Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, that's a good combination.
Yeah. And Allie, she likes the roller coasters. So that's what she wants to spend most of her time doing.
And that's impressive for a 7-year-old. She's not afraid of them, huh?
Well, she's afraid of them if you tell her what it is. So
okay.
I had the first one I took her on was Space Mountain on her second trip, and because okay. she couldn't see what it was, I told her we were going to go ride on, like we were riding on a rocket ship. And my wife didn't go. She started to tell Allie, be careful, it's a roller coaster. But I talked her off of that. So when Allie walked in and we got on it, and I put her in the front seat, and she thought she was driving, she had no preconceived notion she should be scared. So ever since then, she has had a blast. That's what she wants to do, is do the roller coasters.
That's awesome. I remember my godson when he was 7. We took him down for the same age as Allie, 7, 8 years old the first time. And we took him on Splash Mountain. And me and my brother-in-law and him are all up. We're waiting in line. He's talking all tough, blah, blah, blah. We get real close to getting on. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. I don't know if I can go on it. And I said, well, Jim, it's faster if we do the ride than it is to walk all the way down them steps. So now you can really see him sweating bullets. And he's like shivering he's literally shaking. And if you know us, that's awesome to me. Shake even more. I like to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know it's not going to hurt him. I love that he was scared.
He's
all scared. We get him on the ride. And then after it was over, it was great. And then he's talking all this stuff again. We're like, want to go back on? And then he started walking away. That drop really got him the first time. It really scared him, but it was a lot of fun.
So my wife is much more of a fraidy cat. And the first time she went on Splash Mountain, that first little, you think it's going to be a big drop, but it drops maybe 3 feet.
Right.
Yeah, the teaser.
Yeah,
the teaser
she
hill.
She screamed like a 3-year-old. And the other people in the log laughed at her. But so she's much more hesitant on those sorts of rides and things.
Don't you love it when you get somebody on Pirates with that first little tiny thing?
Oh, yeah, they jump. They think it's going to be, they're going to fall off the boat or something.
You tell them, here it comes. They start to fall, and it's over before they're screaming as it's flattening out and floating.
Oh, yeah. So then I think we had dinner at the Plaza restaurant.
And, okay, how'd you like that?
I'll tell you, my wife and I were talking. This is our second time there. I've decided it's my favorite place in Magic Kingdom to eat.
Yeah, me and Dennis both were high on the Plaza.
Yeah, it is not just because of the price of it, which I think it offers good value, but the food has always been great when we've been there. This time, based on your recommendation, I got my wife ordered the Philly cheesesteak, and then I got the strawberry salad, and we split it, and it was more than enough, and it was great. It was cooked well. Nothing was burnt, or you didn't have to wait very long. The service was good. So we've decided that's our favorite place in the Magic Kingdom to eat now.
Now, pound for pound, like mine's Columbia Harbor House, but the Plaza's a very close second. I for a sit down, You can't go wrong eating there. I know Dennis enjoys it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we've eaten there a couple of times over the years, and, you know, it took us a while to even realize that it was there. It's, you know, of course, it's on all the Disney menus and, you know, websites that you go on, but, you know, the big ones, the Crystal Palace and Tony's, get all the fanfare. But, you know, if you're looking to just get some good quality food in the Magic Kingdom, you can never go wrong at the Plaza. I mean, you know, Magic Kingdom, in my view, is kind of starving for eating locations anyway. So, you know, it's particularly when you went before, what's that new one that's...
Skipper's Canteen.
Yeah,
Skipper,
before the canteen was open and, you know, before Be Our Guest was, you know, in service, there wasn't much to choose from. So if you find something you really like... keep going. I mean, it's you know, definitely, you know, you don't hear a lot of people talk about it because I think of the, I'm not going to say limited menu, but you know, it's a simple menu, I would say. And, you know, I think people want to eat different things, but, I've always found it to be, quite good and, you know, varied enough for our family anyways.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Doug, I didn't mean to speak over you.
That's okay. No, I was just saying, we really enjoy it there. And again, like Dan said, most people don't even know it's there. It's probably the hardest restaurant. That and Pinocchio's are the two that's always I forget about. And then I'm happy when I remember. Every time I remember them, I'm happy I did.
Right.
Well, you know, there's not really – advertising is the wrong word, but there's not a large marquee for it. You know, you never see anything pushing people toward it. With the Skipper Canteen, there's been all the social media and the photos, and there's big signs, and it's decorated, you know, all up for everybody to see. But the Plaza just kind of sits there on the corner with, you know, nothing to let you know it's there.
No, if I didn't go to the bathroom one time, I wouldn't have known it was there. That's how I found it.
That's right.
I went down that alleyway and seen the maitre d' standing there. I'm like, holy, this place is really the happiest place on earth. They got a maitre d' to show you where the bathroom is.
That's right.
And then I realized there was a restaurant there. I was like, oh, I was ready to tip the guy. I thought he was going to tell me to go to stall number 5.
Yeah.
Now, did you walk up there or did you have an ADR?
We had an ADR, but I tell you, there were empty seats inside.
Really?
Mm. Huh. Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's another thing, obviously, is the seating is somewhat limited. So it's not a large dining room, which makes it so that at times it can be difficult to get in.
And that's good the way you guys did it. Me and Brenda do that all the time. We'll split each other's meal. It lets you enjoy two different things, sample two different things.
Well, you know, and this is the first time, too, that we've gone and haven't participated in the meal plan, whether it was the free meal plan or we added it on. And we wanted to see if we would save money. But also, every time I've done the meal plan, I feel obligated to get the most expensive item, whether I want it or not, just to justify the expense.
Right. You're preaching to the choir. That's what I constantly say. I kind of think it makes you choose things that you – it makes you eat – it's not you're choosing something bad, but it's making you – it's limited. It limits what you can order off the menu if you want to break even.
Yeah, and I'll tell you about sort of the experience with that when we get to the third day. But you're exactly right. I mean, you know, whereas I felt fine ordering the $14 strawberry salad, I would have never ordered it with the meal plan because that wouldn't have justified the expense of the meal plan.
Exactly. You got to average, like, you got to order like a $50, $40 to $50 entree to equal out what the meal plan is now.
Yeah.
And you end up overeating. I mean, by the end of the week, you're stuffed, and, you know, because you're just trying to, again, always try to justify the expense of, you know, if you added it on the dining plan, you just feel like you're obligated to eat any and all food put in front of you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like the one free dining week I was on, I had like 4 steaks out of 7 days. It was like, really?
Yeah, that's what we did the last trip. My wife, that's what we did. And it was just, you feel weighed down all the time because to justify the meal plan. So we just did away with it this trip. And I would be surprised if we ever did it again.
No, not with the way it is now. It's priced itself out of the market.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So then where'd you guys head off
to? We spent just the rest of the night kind of walking. I think we had run out of fast passes at that point, and there wasn't much available because the park started to get a lot more crowded. So we went, I think we did Mickey's Philhar Magic, which we hadn't done in 10 years, so we were glad to do that. Haunted Mansion, and just kind of, you know, sort of Frontierland, Adventureland, that side of the park is kind of where we stayed the rest of the night.
Now, did you guys get on the TTA or the railroad?
You know, the TTA was closed while we were there.
Okay, well, you're excused for that. Yeah, now, did you get on the railroad?
Actually, on the railroad, we got on the railroad in New Fantasyland before we went back to the hotel and rode it back to Main Street to go to the
okay.
hotel.
Okay, yeah. You passed the Main Street test. You're a true friend of the show.
Well, as a matter of fact, I told my wife, I said, I have to do it or else I'm going to have to lie on a podcast. I don't want to lie.
Well, I must,
so I bullied you.
I must say, for your travel day, you did quite a lot, you know, with the places you ate at and the things you got to see. That's a lot in one day.
So this was the least crowded day of the park. It was overcast. It was what I'll call spitting some throughout the day, which made for a nice cool day, and it kept the parks from being overrun.
Okay, it worked to your advantage in that the masses stayed home, kind of.
It did. Now that all changed the next day. So we next morning we got up and we had planned on being at. Starting the day at Hollywood Studios and then doing the afternoon at Epcot.
Being out of there by brunch?
Well, we're going to have lunch. That's right. Be out of there by... We had lunch, I think our ADR was 11:30 at 50's Primetime. And so...
Yep, I remember. I do remember
that's
that.
That's right. So that morning we went over, we grabbed lunch grabbed breakfast at the Contempo Cafe and then went straight over to Hollywood Studios and were there to open it. We went straight to the Great Movie Ride and did that. And I like the updates they've done to it. I like the new scenes.
It gave it a little freshening.
Yeah, and we had good cast members acting out the gangster roles and the Temple of Doom scene. So we liked that quite a bit. And Allie seemed to enjoy that. And from there, we had a fast pass to Midway Mania. And so,
awesome ride.
Yeah, we walked up to check on their fast pass, and they pointed us to the line that stretched nearly back to the Great Movie Ride.
Oh,
and
wow.
So,
holy moly.
Yeah, so the fast pass line was 30 minutes basically to get to the front door. And so when we got in, we did that. That was my wife's and Allie's first time on Midway Mania, so they both really enjoyed that.
Did those two get to sit together and Daddy got stuck in the back?
Well, no, actually, my daughter sat with me on that one, and my wife...
Mama got stuck to the back? Poor Shayna.
Yeah, she got stuck to the back.
That's just wrong. If I was her, I'd be giving you what for.
Well, we tried to trade off, and it was my turn on that one.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, and so we had a good time with that. We were in line with a nice couple from Maine who spent some time talking with them, and they were talking about the, you know, like you guys up in the Northeast, how you like coming down as much for the weather, just as much for Mickey Mouse.
Did your daughter get to at least see? Did she peek through and see Mr. Potato Head?
She did. I made sure to hold her up so she could see it and do all that.
Yeah, you got to get some of that cue. I love that cue. I love it, especially when I'm on with the kids, because I get to talk about all the toys I played with when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I kind of give her a little history lesson. So we had a good time doing that, and then from there we went to have lunch. We walked around. We were gonna go see Buzz Lightyear and Woody, but it was like a 45-minute wait.
Okay.
And we also did the Muppets. We did the Muppets first thing, and after our fast passes were the movie ride, the Muppets, and then Toy Story Midway Mania.
How did Allie like the Muppets?
She loved it. You know, she likes the 3D. She likes all that. And that, you know.
I love the pre-show as much as the Muppets myself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I laugh every time. I like the Muppets. You know, I don't watch the new show, but if I ever see one of the movies on, I always watch it. I like it. It makes me laugh.
Me and Den's the two old men up in the balcony.
That's right.
Yeah, that 3D show is, every time I go on it, I kind of feel like, man, I'm going to see Muppets again, and I always end up enjoying it more than I think I'm going into it. I think it's just well done, and, you know, I like the fact that they sprinkle in some, you know, live-action characters there at one part in the show. I don't know. It has repeatability for me anyway, so I always end up liking it.
The weird part with me with that is, and believe it or not, I can't count how many times I've seen it, but every time I sit down and see that show, I don't remember it like I do all the other ones. Does that make sense
yes,
to you?
Yes, I know exactly. There's parts of it when you see it, you're like, oh, I forgot that was in this show.
Yeah,
because
like all the other 3Ds, I remember them. Like, It's Tough to Be a Bug, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, Phil Her Magic. I always remember it, but for some reason, the Muppets, I don't.
Like, well, that little car character there. For a long time, I totally forgot that was in it, and he don't come in to kind of near the end, but it's pretty cool, and I know exactly what you mean. It's like fragmented or something. I don't know.
It's hard. It's like I got old timers every time I see it. It's like it's new again to me because I forget it.
Yeah. Well, it's a busy show. There's a lot packed into the 15 minutes or so that's going on.
Exactly.
There's so many different pieces to it. It's a lot to keep up with.
Yep.
And my wife gives me the same dirty look every time we go on it again. Like, she remembers every part of it. Like, you're making me do this again. I'm like, yep. I love it. I love when I'm the only old guy in the whole It's me and my wife with no kids. Yeah, it's funny.
So I guess I'll tell you this little story. This was the worst experience I've ever had with a cast member was when we left Muppets and we were going to the restroom. There was a DVC kind of area set up. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of chatting with the guy. He started asking me questions, and we were just kind of talking. And then he turned on what I can best describe as an incredibly hard sell for DVC. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he was overly aggressive in a way that I'd never – and I've talked to those guys before, but in a way that I never had seen before, to the point of he was rude. He started – I was trying to say, okay, I've got to go find my wife, and he wouldn't let me go. Yeah, it was really odd. It was odd is the best way I can say it, because I've never had an experience like that with any cast member before.
No, and that's what, at least my experience has been, what separates the DVC Vacation
right.
Club from all the other timeshares that you can sit through in Florida or anywhere else for that matter, is they don't do the hard sell. I mean, when we bought DVC, they basically ran us through the spiel and said, look, you can go home and call us when you get home, or you can go back to your resort and call us, or you can never call us. But, you know, there's no obligation, and we're not going to pester you while you're on vacation. And if we didn't initiate the follow-up call, we probably never would have heard from them.
Right. I mean, he basically berated me when I told him we were staying at the Contemporary and that right now we didn't think we could, you know, we were interested in doing DVC.
Right.
And he just started reading me the riot act. And I literally walked away while he was talking with my daughter on my shoulders.
Well, next time that happens, Aaron, if it does, you should take the guy's name down and call in. But also, to get away from him next time is say, grab your backpack, grab a pen, and say, can I have a pen, or ask them for one, and say, I'm going to write your name and information down. I am going to call your supervisor and tell him how pushy you're being right now. And I guarantee he'll walk away from you.
Yeah, it was just odd. That's, you know, you always want to remember the good experiences, but that's just the one bad experience I've ever had. Everything else has been sterling.
I know exactly what you're talking. We had this happen to us. We went to see, do you like country music?
It's okay.
Okay, we went to see a group called Sugarland on the beach in Myrtle in Virginia Beach, and we stayed at a Courtyard by Marriott, and we could see the stage. We had a beautiful room, we were ocean view. We could see the stage was set up right behind it, and this Courtyard by Marriott also had a timeshare division there.
Okay,
we had nothing to do with it, and every time we would leave the hotel, we'd be attacked.
Yeah.
And I told this guy to leave me alone one time, and he just kept pestering me. Finally, I just lost it. I set my wife down on a bench. I said, please do not come with me. I have read your way for the last day and a half, and I've been patient. I said, you sit out here on the bench, and I am going to go handle this right now. And needless to say, you didn't hear any more for the rest of the week, but that's how pushy they were. It was like, I was literally taking different ways to leave my hotel because I don't want to deal with this.
Wow.
And it wasn't like I didn't get my room. Like, know how sometimes you go on a vacation and you're getting the room because of the timeshare?
Right.
We didn't do that. We just booked the hotel on our own. We had nothing to do with a timeshare. We weren't there for a timeshare. And it got the rest of the week that my wife was laughing. She didn't know what I did, but they would hold the door for me and would not speak to me. They would not come near us. They would see me and my wife, and they would go the opposite way. She hugged me. It was one of those things like, I don't want to know, but I love you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that it went there.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing Disney wants is guests coming back home like you're doing and, you know, saying that they were bothered by DVC. I mean, to be honest, this is the first time I've ever heard somebody say that they were made feel uncomfortable or bothered by DVC. I mean, it's unheard of.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why it stood out to me, because I thought, this is not the way they're supposed to be running the program. But, you know.
Hopefully it's not a new trend.
Yeah. So we had lunch at 50s Primetime, which is the first time I'd ever eaten there. I think I had ADR there before. But we canceled it. But that was the first time we'd ever eaten there. I really enjoyed the food. I got the sample platter. My wife got, I think, I want to say the fried chicken.
I'm wiping my brow now because some idiot told him to go there. I'm just wiping my brow
that's right, they had a good time. Congratulations.
How was your interaction with the waiter or waitress? How did that go?
You know, I wanted them to do more. And the only thing they told us was, you know, don't put your elbows on the table. They didn't. I was really wanting the whole song and dance. I even told my wife before, I said, this is part of the show, and are you okay with that? And she said, yeah, let's go for it. And they didn't really do anything with it. So
it might have been the 11:30 or the earlier lunch. Maybe they were not, like, rolling yet. But most of the time, I usually get that they're over the top.
Well,
now, did they introduce you as cousin? Did she say your cousin
did.
Ran?
They
with...
did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They did do that, but it kind of stopped right there.
Yeah, my experience has been, obviously, it all depends on the cast member and how experienced they are. I mean, there's so much turnovers in those restaurants. You never really know if you're getting somebody that might have been there only a week or, you know, 3 years. So,
right.
You know, you might have just gotten somebody that just wasn't as experienced or comfortable in that role. But that's too bad because it can really be a fun time, especially if you're up for it, which it sounds like you had prepped the family and you were kind of ready for it.
Yeah. So that was the food was really good. It was really busy in there, which I was glad we had an ADR. And so maybe that played into them not hamming it up as much.
And what did your wife and your daughter have?
I think Allie had macaroni and cheese, you know, all American kids meal. And
absolutely.
I think macaroni and cheese and French fries.
There you go.
And I think Shayna had a chicken Caesar salad.
How did you like your meatloaf?
I liked it. My favorite was the pot roast portion.
Okay.
And everybody raved about the fried chicken. I'm not a huge fried chicken fan anyway, so that was my least favorite portion of it.
Okay. I loved the meatloaf.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It was really filling, and it was a lot of food, but it wasn't too much.
And the prices are good there, aren't they, for what you get?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem at all with the prices there because I thought it was worth it.
Yeah, it's good, you know. Good home cooking and
your ribs.
Yeah, and that pot roast, my wife gets that all the time. That's her favorite dish from 50s.
Yeah, it was very good. And I made a mistake earlier. We did not have a fast pass for the Hollywood for the Great Movie Ride. We had a fast pass for Tower of Terror, and we did that right before lunch.
Now, did your daughter get scared on that, like Dennis?
All right, so this was my big this was my big test for her. Now, I will tell y'all that I have major motion sickness issues. And whenever my best friend and brother, whenever we went on our day trip, there's a picture of me floating around between the three of us. It looks like I'm about to throw up when the picture goes off.
Looking so, a little green.
Right, that's right. So I did this with my daughter thinking I'll tough it out and I want to test her limits. It was far and away her favorite ride.
Awesome.
She absolutely loved it. And she was so thrilled that she, Daddy, I was floating whenever it dropped. I was floating in the air. I think I may have tweeted out a picture of us in front of Tower of Terror. But that was her favorite ride the entire time.
That's awesome. Now you get stuck turning green many years to come.
That's exactly right. So
until she brings a girlfriend down or a friend with her on one of these trips.
That's right.
To let you off the hook.
That's right. Somebody take Daddy's spot.
Yes.
So it was Hollywood Studios, because we left right after that, but it was very crowded. And every attraction, once it got to be about 10:30, there was no wait that I could see that was less than 45 minutes for, I mean, really every attraction, because there's just not a lot to do there.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right? We really enjoyed it. My wife really enjoyed going back because that was the first time she had been through it in 10 years. And so she really liked walking through the streets and going in the shops. But
they are our favorite. They are my wife's favorite stores to shop in. I love all the shopping and the restaurants I love at the studios. Yep. Just there's not enough of everything else anymore.
Yeah, and I've always enjoyed the ambiance of the studios. You know, I like the old Hollywood, the music, the streetmosphere, the stores. It's just, to me, it's a beautiful park.
Love my Oscars.
Yep. So after lunch, we then we left, but we split up at that point. Shane and Allie The weather was beautiful. It was great, but it was hot. It was not humid, but the sun was just beating down. And so Shane and Allie went back to the hotel for a couple hours to take a nap, and I walked over to Epcot by myself.
Okay.
And so that was the first time I'd done the walking trail that I've heard you talk about before, Doug. And that's the only reason I knew about it, because I heard you mention it before.
Awesome.
So I walked over to Epcot and just went around. I went and got school bread.
And then I thought of you.
I was like, well, I've heard Den rave about it. I've never had it. I'm going to go get it.
How'd you like
it? It was great. It was fantastic.
Nice. So it's different.
It is. So I did that, and I walked in, and I'm ashamed to admit, I didn't really realize that each of the countries, or I shouldn't say each of them, but many of them have like a little mini museum for some cultural part.
Uh-huh.
And so I went and I just started touring those.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I started in Mexico and did the boat ride, and then I lived in Mexico for a while, so I was kind of, I know the culture of Mexico, so I just wanted to go do the boat ride.
Right.
And then just kind of went from country to country and got up through Japan and watched the performers in Japan. And by that time, it was time to meet back up for dinner. Because I guess I started the World Showcase about 3 and then just kind of took my time and then met back up with everybody else at Via Napoli at 7 for dinner.
Isn't that walk beautiful, though?
Oh, it's fantastic. It was great, and I appreciated that my wife let me have, because I told her, I said, if it's possible, if y'all get tired and you don't mind, I'd like to just kind of tour by myself a little bit so I can go through and see some things and just kind of take time to re-see things and re-remember things I had forgotten about.
Exactly, and you don't want to make your daughter wait in the church at Norway or wait
That's
for
right.
you when she wants to go see other things. You want to... You know, let her do what she wants to do. Like, as she gets older, those things will interest her more and more. But right now, you want her to be able to do what she wants to, so it makes you not feel selfish when you're able to do things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that was a nice little deal for me, and I'm someone who has to be in perpetual motion. And so I don't do well sitting around.
Me and you'd be perfect touring mates.
Yeah. So we met back up at Via Napoli and had dinner, and the pizza there was great. We'd eaten there the last time, and that's what we wanted to do again. So we did that. Allie ate her food, and me and Shane ate our food. And then Allie wanted to go do test track. So at that point, by the time we got out of Via Napoli, it was probably 8:15, 8:30.
Test track at night is awesome.
That's right. So we walked down, and she and I walked onto it. It was about a 20-minute wait at that point.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, the line move was really quick. And it's every other time I've been there, test track has always been down for, if not entire day, large portions of the day for maintenance issues, or it just broke down.
Well, most of the time, believe it or not, a lot of time, nobody thinks, but those cars get flat tires. And when one of those cars get a flat tire, that's what usually shuts that ride down, because they're running on regular tires.
Is that right?
Yeah, so if one's stuck on the track, it's stuck. You know, that's usually why I've noticed that's why that ride goes down the most, because it's running on real tires.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I didn't notice that.
And weather will also, a lot of times if there's lightning strikes in the area, they shut that right down first. So you're right. It seems at times that it's down a lot for the reasons Doug mentioned, and weather. It can be problematic.
It's finicky. It's probably one of the most finicky rides on property, if not the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ride shut down more than any other ride that I know of.
Right. And my understanding, Doug, is you probably know more about it than I do, but like, you're right. If one car goes down, the whole track obviously goes down, and then they get their set points around the whole track, and they got to kind of reboot the
whole
thing.
Push it off.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think it takes 15 or 20 minutes to go through the whole cycle of rebooting all the contacts, because the cars have to contact the track at all these different
points.
It's
like a link. It's like a safety,
exactly.
You know, it's safety link. There, you know, you move one from the chain,
yep.
and you got to reboot the entire chain.
Okay.
But
yeah, those tires, that's the biggest thing that I've heard over the years. Tires going flat or falling off the, you know, they can go down.
Right. Well, I didn't realize that. So while Allie and I were doing that, my wife went to the restroom, and then she stopped and hung out with Baymax. Now, at that point, Illuminations was going on, so she said there was nobody at Baymax. They let her have what she described as a prom photo shoot with Baymax. So I've got she literally got about 15 pictures of Baymax hugging her, them, you know, posing. I mean, literally posing like they're in the like the old cheesy prom pictures.
Now, so, did you see Big Hero 6?
We did. We liked it a lot.
What? Now, wasn't that a really surprisingly good movie?
It was. I didn't expect it. I knew it was based on a Marvel comic, but besides that, you know, I had no idea what to go into. And we all, my wife, she really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. My daughter enjoyed it. It was.
I had zero expectations for that movie, and it was like over the moon good compared to what I was expecting it to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had no idea where it was even going to go, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We really liked it a lot.
It was kind of like WALL-E for me, too. Like, when I originally, we seen WALL-E, we thought it was, but we had no idea where that was going to go. Mm-hmm. And that was another one that really surprised us a lot. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, it did. My wife and I think that may have been the first movie in the theater that Allie ever saw. We were talking about that just last night, as a matter of fact.
That's all. Eva. I do that to my wife all the time. It's like our running joke. I'll look for her when I can't find her. I'll go, Eva, and she cracks up. So we're after Test Track. How did you like Test Track at night? Did your daughter like it?
She did. She loved it. Anything that goes fast and makes her lose her stomach, she likes. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So she, I guess.
Now, did she have fun making the car?
She did. I let her do all that. And
Dennis loves that.
Yeah. I skip right by that.
That's your inner child, Dan. You ought to jump on that with your inner child.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the line was so short, you almost didn't have to do it, but you chose to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was literally, they had the timer on the screen, and there was no standing around waiting. It was,
right,
she made the car, and it just moved right along.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So did you see Illuminations at all?
I did not, and I was disappointed by that. But
you're buying a shot for us or something for that.
I told my wife, I said, I've got to watch, and she's like, we've seen it every time we go. Please don't make us watch again. And I thought part of me just died inside.
I don't blame you, man. I feel for you. You have our sympathy. It's kind of like when something's that good, you stick with it.
That's right.
That's what I told my wife. We've 25 years we've been together now. I'm not quitting on it. I'm going to see you every single day, just like I love Illuminations. It's, when you love something, you stick with it. That's it. You need me fighting for you down there, Aaron.
At the end of the day,
all else fails, guilt them into it.
That's right. So then after Test Track, it was after 9 o'clock, so they were escorting people to the front gate, and so we went back to the hotel and went to sleep. The next morning was our Animal Kingdom day.
Okay.
So we got
great day.
Yeah, we got there at park opening and went right back to the safari, and it was the best safari experience that we had had in the years we've been going.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they had a lot of the animals that were out and about moving around. The rhinoceros. There were multiple giraffes that walked in front of the car. Walked in front of the truck. The lion was still asleep on the rock. I don't think he's ever moved since I've been there.
That's just a brown rug up there. It's actually not a lion.
That's right. Just a gag. Yeah, it's like that. It's like that ostrich egg that's been there for 25
it's
years.
It's some guy up there in a jacket. You ever see Coming to America with Eddie Murphy where they wear the lion thing?
Yeah.
That's one of them sitting up there on top of the lion pelt up on top of the mountain there. Isn't it a little eerie though when the rhino's like right next to the Jeep?
Yeah, it is.
It's like, I love it, but I also think if he gets really pissed off, this could get ugly.
Yeah.
He could roll that thing over and have no problem, I bet.
Well,
you hear that rhinos and hippos are the two meanest in the wild, and I don't, that white rhino, every time he comes near the truck, I don't like it.
Well, so I actually had an experience where I saw an animal attack a vehicle in a similar park. It was in Mexico, and we drove into the tiger den, and there was a little like Jeep Wrangler in front of us, and it had parked right in front of like a sitting rock for the tiger, and it was a gigantic orange tiger sitting on the rock, and we were in a Suburban and pulled up behind that Jeep, and all of a sudden the tiger just stood up, and he stretched, and out of nowhere he pounced on the Jeep, and started ramming the Jeep. And you talk about people starting to scoot toward the middle of a car and making sure doors were locked. It was terrifying.
Wow.
And that Jeep, he tore out of there and left that section. We were right behind him.
But I don't blame you.
Yeah, but that did not happen at Disney World. So
right.
No. That's
not good for tourism, though.
The craziest thing I ever seen happen was that Great Adventure. And we were the same thing behind another car. And the baboons started ripping the vinyl roof off this car.
Oh, yeah.
And they told you don't take it through. Well, then the girl puts the window down to start screaming at them. As she puts the window down, the baboon reaches in, snatches her purse, and goes running across the... We were, like, cracking up in the car. I mean, and then they're playing with the purse. All the baboons are, like, throwing this lady's purse around. We were like, they told you, no vinyl roofs. Don't open up your windows. You're 0 for 2. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, what's the show they used to have when animals attack? You guys remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
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 Thank goodness it's nice and peaceful at Walt Disney World.
So we left after the safaris. We went, you know, there's that little viewing area for the gorillas right as you exit, which I'm convinced most people don't know about because every time I go, there's nobody ever there.
They just blow on by. Yeah. That's why we say on the show, slow down. Look around and enjoy the view because everybody gets that tunnel vision and they pass half the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the
And they'll tell you there's nothing to do with the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, that's the start of the Pangani Trail there. And you're right. If you look over to the side there, you know, I guess it's made that way. So it's, you know, get your interest so that you get off of that attraction and go on the Pangani Trail. But, you know, a lot of people just blow it off and don't do it, which
absolutely.
I think is a mistake because that's one of my most favorite things in the park is watching those silverback gorillas. Them are awesome.
I agree with you, and as fate would have it, we walked around the corner, and they're sitting. Two of them are sitting right there playing.
Yep,
that's awesome.
And so that was, you know, we got to sit there, and nobody else, everybody just kept walking by. And so we sat there and watched the gorillas play for a few minutes, and then my daughter, they have this. Have you guys seen? You probably sure you haven't. There's a new cartoon called The Lion Guard on Disney Channel.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen it.
So they have this thing set up where you can, you know, join the Lion Guard, and they have the statues of all the characters placed at different spots around the park, and so you've got to go find this statue, and they're hidden. They're not, you know, they have little signs kind of saying, "Hey, they're in this area," but you've got to look, and they're not out in the open. You've got to find them. And so my daughter really wanted to do that because she watches that show. So we spent the next little while just kind of walking all over the park trying to find the characters and getting her picture with them.
But that's one of the good things about that park. That's one thing Dan can honestly say he did get from me is he did slow down, look around at that park, and he realized a lot of the things you were missing, didn't you, Dan?
Oh, yeah. That park in particular is one that, you know, aside from the you know, the attractions that we've mentioned already, the stuff like Aaron just mentioned and the Wilderness Explorer thing that they have there where, you know, that's a whole thing in itself where it brings you to all the nooks and crannies in the park and there's activities with it. And, you know, the kids learn something about nature and the animals and different things. So, I mean, you can put as much as you want into your visit at the Animal Kingdom above and beyond just riding the attractions. And I mean, I started the Wilderness Explorer thing and I still probably have I'm probably 2/3 of the way through it, but I still have more to do. So, you know, my next trip I hope to finish that up. But yeah, it's an awesome park to really explore and, you know, kind of.
That's the key word, Dan, explore. Yeah. That's what it's designed to do. Like all the other parks have neon signs telling you
that's right.
It's here.
That's right.
That park's designed to, like the Flights of Wonder. So many people walk back and forth, they don't even know that's a ride. I mean, that's a show.
Right.
Everybody's just so focused on Kilimanjaro Safari, Expedition Everest, Dinosaur.
Right.
And Tree of Life, you know, and some people don't even know it's tough to be a bug's in the tree.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, just like Aaron said when he was over in World Showcase, I mean, you know, the fact that he took time to look at some of the artifacts and different museum-type things that are in all of the countries, I mean, you know, unfortunately, most of us are in the situation when you have smaller kids, you can't stop and do that, or at least it's not advantageous to stop and do that, I should say. Because, you know, you don't want to bog down and, you know, bore your kids. But, I mean, that's some of the stuff that I think returning to the parks with kids that are a little older or even as adults-only trip, that's the beauty of Disney World, I think, is all that other stuff. I mean, I love my attractions, but, you know,
the
all
exploring's
the
awesome
the
part.
Other stuff is what really gets me and keeps me going back, to be honest.
Yeah.
Every time I'm down, a hidden gem.
Yeah, I mean, you can go, and we did. My wife has started to try to find hidden Mickey stuff everywhere. So every time you go, it's like you can have a completely different experience in the same park just by changing the focus of your tour, of your visit.
Absolutely. And well, like the little thing that I've said before, and it's crazy, but it's true. We all take care of our wives. We let them on the ride first. And that thing I always talk about, how shake it up a little bit, hold her hand, and you hop in the boat first. So you can actually ride on the opposite side of an attraction, because if you're always on the same side, you'll miss half the stop.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
It is. Like, the Haunted Mansion, I rode on the left side of that dune buggy probably the first 10 times we got on the ride, because I'm always helping my wife on. The one time I started seeing everything that came to me was, there was a bunch of us there, so I put my wife, my mother-in-law, and all in the cart in front, and I got in a dune buggy by myself. And I'm seeing stuff that I'd never seen before, because when I turned my head, I'd see my wife.
Right, right.
And the same thing with pirates and all the others. So, you know, try to switch it up and ride the opposite side of the ride vehicle, and you'll be amazed at the different things that you and your wife both see. Spaceship Earth. I bet you, Aaron, your wife always sits to the right, don't she?
She gets on first. I think you're absolutely right. That was the first thing. I tend to be a commando tour. I've got a plan, and I just go. And this trip, I was determined to sort of take a slower pace and let my wife and daughter sort of lead the way.
And you feel like you got as much done.
Yeah, I did. And the fact that she let me kind of go by myself, I got my sort of commando touring out of my system and was kind of able to do it that way.
Right.
So after doing the Lion Guard thing, we had a fast pass for Cali River Rapids, which I know that y'all aren't big fans of, but my daughter and I love it.
Yeah. I just don't like to get soaked. Well, it ruins my day. But I do like the ride. I wish they would just lower the flume and take me through it.
Well, so we took – I carry a backpack, so we just packed shoes in there with us and a change of clothes and wore a swimsuit. And so it wasn't – and my daughter and I keep our fingers crossed we get soaked every time.
Well, prepared. You're both Boy Scout and Girl Scout.
That's right. So we went through and we got nailed, and the line was very short, so we ran through again.
And awesome.
Yeah, and
we did that
back to back. And from there, we then had a fast pass for Festival of Lion King, and went and watched that. And that's always a good time. It's a great show. To me, that never gets old. The music is always great. And, the colors and the costumes.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was just singing.
You're going to bring all the animals out of the wilderness if you keep singing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Make them cry.
So we did that, and then we went to have lunch at Flame Tree Barbecue.
Home run?
It's always a home run. I'm convinced that's the best quick service restaurant in Disney World.
Well, it's close. It's no Columbia Harbor House, but it's good. Fair enough. It's awesome.
To be fair, I mean, Columbia Harbor House is at the top of our list as well. We just didn't make it there this time, but I think those two I think those are the two standout quick service restaurants in the parks.
Yeah, and Sunshine Seasons is good. You don't get to go there because of Soarin'. It's uncomfortable. The food's great, but the seating isn't.
You're right. That's a good point.
Now, Flame Tree just reopened. Did you notice anything different on your trip? It was closed for the longest time.
Best I could tell, Den, they do the ordering differently now.
Oh, okay.
You order much more kind of earlier in the line.
Okay.
And then you seem to... As best I can recall, the difference was I stood in line a lot longer after I ordered to get my food than previously.
Okay, so you're not necessarily saying it was an improvement, it's just different.
Yeah, and it was, and by this time, the park, spring break, there was a lot of people from Texas and Oklahoma because it was their spring break.
Okay.
And so it was just a lot of people in the parks at this point. And so that may have been the issue, was it was just more people than what we were accustomed to. That may have been why the wait was that much longer. Not necessarily because they changed the flow, the setup of it.
Okay. I was just wondering if it was, markedly different or, not.
And I think then there may have been more seating added as well. Some more of the covered seating, it seemed like.
Okay.
And so what did you guys indulge in?
We got barbecue sandwiches. That was the first time I'd actually gotten the barbecue from there. We've normally gotten like the chicken and rib plate and shared that, but we both got barbecue sandwiches. And I gotta say, in Alabama we've got great barbecue. I was really impressed.
Oh.
It was very good.
I love it there. I've never been disappointed by anything at Flame Tree.
Yeah, no, we haven't either. It was very good.
Good barbecue always comes down to the sauce usually, and so the sauce it's up to your standards, or at least from what you compare it to back home. So you know, they must use some decent sauce then.
Well, I see that's what got me. I didn't put hardly any sauce on it, and the meat itself was seasoned really good, and it was very tender, and I put a little bit of sauce, but it was more just the natural flavor from the meat that got me.
So they did a good job smoking it or whatever they did, so yep. That's good to hear.
It was really good.
Now you're making me hungry.
Yeah. So after lunch, we then went and did walked around and just kind of explored. We did I think it was the Pangani Forest Trail. We did that. And then at that point, my wife, her foot was bothering her, so she wanted to go ahead and go back. And Allie and I had not finished the Lion Guard because that required a trip out to Rafiki's, the conservation center.
Which is awesome.
Which I like. My wife was like, she didn't fill up for it. So she went ahead and went back to the hotel for a bit. And Allie and I went and did that. And so that took that was about an hour and a half, you know, by the time we went out there and got.
I loved that train ride.
Yeah, I liked it too. And it was really neat because this was the first time, you know, you passed through the backstage areas where they had the animals house.
Yeah.
And they had a couple of the rhinoceros out there in the pen. And so you could. We passed them walking around and kind of playing in the pen, so that was pretty neat.
And the last time we were in there, were they operating on anybody?
No, they were not. But they had.
You got to be with me for that to be going.
I know.
On,
I was hoping because I've heard you mention it a couple times. I was hoping we would see something, but they weren't operating on anybody.
I hear Scott laughing right now for some reason.
Yeah, I don't get it. They just don't do nothing around him because he's infectious. They don't want any of the animals getting
that's
sick
right,
with Scott being
right.
around.
Don't want to damage the population.
No, they don't want that little fungi roaming around while they're operating on it.
But they had one of the cast members out giving a little presentation about I think it was a screech owl,
okay.
Which is like this little tiny pint-sized owl, but you could get, you know, within 2 feet of it, take pictures and. And so that was pretty neat. That was the first time I had seen any of those presentations. It was educational.
Crazy face. Don't they have a crazy face?
Yeah, they do.
Looks like a clown face.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It was weird. It was seeing one live. It was just weird. You know, owls are that little owl just looked weird. It had big tufts on it. You know where its ears would have been. It was really neat. I think Allie liked seeing it.
No, it's awesome out there. I said the last time they gave us this big rawhide ball that. They said the tiger's destroyed. Now I'm holding this thing, and it's a big, thick, heavy ball. They like ate through that thing and clawed through it like it was nothing.
Yeah, the time previous that we went, the tigers were actually playing with the ball, and they were knocking it around like it was nothing.
Exactly, and this thing is like a rawhide or whatever the heck it is. It's some thick. It was really thick, and they destroyed this thing. I said, how long they have that? She goes, about a half a day.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a 10 months. I had to go get a chisel and a hammer to get through this thing, and they, like, tore it apart like it was nothing.
It just goes to show you how powerful those animals are, that they can do that to that, you know, whatever it is, rawhide, like you said.
Yep.
Now, did you guys hit dinosaurs or Everest?
Well, so we did not do dinosaur, but my daughter, she saw the mountain. She was like, I'd like to go do Everest. And I dreaded that was, I didn't want to, I was not, I wasn't volunteering her to go on that one. But she said she wanted to go, so I said, okay. And this is the day, Doug, that you set up the Fantasmic dinner package for. So we had a 5:30 reservation at the Brown Derby.
Okay.
So we were in a bit of a time crunch. So, There was like a 40-minute wait, but she really wanted to go. And if we timed it perfectly, we could make the 5:30.
Okay.
So she and I sprinted across the park and rode it, and she absolutely loved it. I had a massive headache, but she loved it.
Dad, you went through the regular queue line.
Yeah, we did. We did, because we didn't have
a pass. Now, the queue was better to ride, wasn't it?
For me, it was, but just because of the ramifications of riding that. But it was, and so she had a lot of fun with that. We got off of that, and once I could get my bearings, I picked her up, and we ran to the front to go make the reservation at the Brown Derby.
Let me let you in on a little secret. I like Cali River Rapids better than Expedition Everest, just so you know.
No argument from me.
So you made it over to Fantasmic?
We did. We got there.
I mean, the Brown Derby, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did, and they were running behind on reservations. It seemed like, I guess, everybody in the park was eating there. And so we had a 5:30, but didn't get seated until probably 6:10 or 6:15. And I didn't realize that when you set it up, it was actually the Fantasmic dinner package. I don't know what I thought it was. I thought it was just regular dinner reservations. So they said, well, you know, you pick your entree and you get a dessert and you get an appetizer and then you get your guaranteed seating at Fantasmic. So this was the one time that I ordered based upon having prepaid for the meal.
Okay.
Because I felt like I had to justify the price, which I think was $65, I think, which really isn't a bad price for what all you get. So I ordered the crab cakes, and then I got the filet. And then I was most excited about, I've always wanted to try the grapefruit cake. So I was excited that that was the dessert that we got. We had a dessert sampler. So I was excited that that was part of the sampler. And everything was fantastic. Probably the best crab cakes I've ever had. The steak was really good.
Aren't they good?
They were really good.
Aren't they good?
I was
impressed. They have a different taste to them with that, what they make, the dipping sauce and all that comes. Isn't it very good?
My wife and I both came away very impressed with the crab cakes.
Yeah, nice. That's where we had my mother-in-law's 75th. We've eaten there. I can't even count how many times. I love that restaurant.
I do, too.
I love the elegance of it.
Yeah, I do, too. It may be, it's probably one of my top five on property. We've eaten there before, and it's just, I've never been disappointed, and I always come away more impressed than the previous time.
So what was your entree again?
I got the filet.
How'd you like that?
I loved it. I went in wanting to get the Cobb salad, but when I realized that it was sort of a fixed price deal, I said, well, I'm going to justify the price and order the $49 steak.
And what did the wife and your daughter get?
My wife got the steak as well, and then my daughter had, I think she might have gotten a hot dog.
Okay.
You know, kids
$65 food. Hot dog. It's not as bad as, that's a little more than over at the campground, the wilderness campground at the
oh,
buffet.
Yeah,
the
Mickey's.
The Trails End Buffet.
Right.
But, now, how did you like the grapefruit cake?
I loved it.
Different, isn't it?
I thought it was fantastic. It was not as tart as I anticipated, which I liked. It was really moist. I liked it. I had built it up in my mind to be great, and it exceeded my expectations. I thought it was fantastic.
So your travel agent didn't steer you wrong by telling you to do the dinner package for Fantasmic?
Did not steer me wrong one bit.
Awesome. So. I was glad when you texted me about that. I was very happy that I came through for you on that because it surprised you at the time it happened.
Yeah, it did. I didn't realize, you know, I knew he said, yeah, let's do it. And I just didn't think about it or just didn't realize what all that was. It was fantastic. That was that meal was one of the highlights for me of the trip this time.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then you didn't have to stress about going to see Fantasmic.
That's right.
And now, had you guys seen Fantasmic before?
My wife and I saw it 10 years ago on that trip. This was the first time that we'd been to Hollywood Studios on this trip. You know, the two previous trips with Allie, we'd never been because there just wasn't time, or we just didn't justify it because I knew that really the only thing over there that she would probably want to see when she was 5 and 6 years old was Toy Story Midway Mania. And then it was just hard to justify going there for a full day because this is the first time we also did Park Hoppers with Allie. So I couldn't justify, even before they started closing everything down.
Now, don't you have to have Park Hopper with the studios the way they are now?
Yeah, you have to. And it frustrates me to no end. I don't want to start the price argument again. But it frustrates me.
No, we won't.
It frustrates
me to no end.
We're
trying to be positive on this show.
Yeah. Well, it frustrates me to no end the condition that park is in, that they still – I understand the reason for charging the full price for it because they don't want to set a precedent. But it just seems so unfair and unjust that you have to pay full price for a park that is half open.
The thing that gets me is they even raised they had the audacity to raise the price.
Yeah.
They couldn't have just left it alone.
So we had great seats at Fantasmic. I don't know if I tweeted any pictures out, but I really enjoyed it. I didn't remember a lot of it.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. It was really good, and Allie and Shayna both loved it, and it was great.
I mean, Fantasmic used to be my favorite nighttime spectacular. The thing that kind of bugs me about it now is with the studios being in the shape that it's in, it's hard to
waiting around.
Yeah, it's hard to stick around all day unless you do what you guys did and did the dinner package. I mean, you have to fill your day either with stuff at the studios or you got to leave the studios and then come back to see it. Depending, I mean, sometimes they run it once a night, sometimes twice, but you know, you're there till what, after 10 o'clock at night if it starts at 9:30.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing that bugs me. It's an awesome show, but the investment in time at times makes it so that it's kind of a pain to see.
It makes sense. It makes absolute sense. And in fact, I talked to Doug about this. I was hoping that they were going to do soft openings for Rivers of Light during the week we were there. And I had planned on if they were doing soft openings that very day, we would have just eaten the penalty fee, you know, for canceling the reservation and instead watch Rivers of Light. And the Rivers of Light, it's coming along. I mean, I think now they're starting to do soft openings in a couple of weeks. But it's going to be really cool. The seating area was really nicely done from what we could tell. It's going to be really neat. And I'm assuming the water displays, you know, how they project the film on the water at Fantasmic is what they're going to do at Rivers of Light.
Absolutely. I think so too, Aaron. And the great thing is you did the dinner show and you had a great time, and now it gives you – You got to do that with your daughter, which she hadn't seen yet. So it was a great thing that you did that with her, and then you have the River Lights to look forward to.
That's right. So it was we were in a no-lose situation.
Yeah, and Dennis, that gives you the excuse because he hasn't eaten at the Brown Derby yet.
So that'll
give you an excuse maybe with Park Hopper, because I know you have an annual pass, so you can Park Hop.
Right.
It'll give you the excuse to be able. You could go there, do the same thing Aaron did, do a dinner show, and go late at night.
Yep.
And enjoy the atmosphere there.
Go ahead.
I would say you've got to eat at the Brown Derby. You still have to eat at GECO.
Yeah, I got to get to GECO. At least I have some great restaurants on my list of restaurants I have to get to.
Your living list.
Yeah, that's right. So after that, Shane and Allie left. I wanted to see the Star Wars fireworks that were getting ready to get started. And so they went ahead and left to beat the rush. I stayed for the Star Wars fireworks, and they were phenomenal.
That's awesome.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I enjoy the movies, but I'm not, you know, a Star Wars geek, for lack of a better word. But they were fantastic.
You're like us.
Yeah. I'm a casual fan.
Did they shoot them off kind of over the great movie rides? It's not directly over, but like, is that where you'd be looking down the Sunset Boulevard there?
Yep. I was standing right in the middle of Sunset Boulevard at the intersection right in front of the Brown Derby.
Okay.
And it was a sea of people. There was nowhere to move from the entry gate all the way up through the great movie ride. There was nowhere else to move. Everybody was right there in that area.
Wow.
But it was well worth dealing with the crowd to watch it. They were fantastic. The finale, I mean, you felt it in your chest. It was just boom, 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 and it shook your body. It was great.
And obviously musical score is all the Star Wars music and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, even for the casual fan, when that first opening bar of the, you know, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And, and the rockets start going off, and it's, you know, it's hard not to be emotionally invested at that point.
I'm just a little upset then. He's seen Star Wars but didn't watch Illuminations. You know what I'm saying? You know, between me and you, buddy.
So then I went after that to the Star Wars launch bay. I wanted to see what that was. And a friend of mine is getting ready to go, and he said, what's it worth? I said, it's worth maybe a 30-minute wait. Because you can, you know, they have a little documentary movie you can watch about the making of the most recent Star Wars movie, and they have it's set up like a museum, but it's really models and replicas of some of the props you would see in the movies. So I did that, and you can meet Chewbacca, and
it's basically one man dream for Star
Wars.
That's
what it is. So after that, I did that. I didn't meet any of the characters. I watched a documentary and walked through the little, what I'll call a museum, and then went back to the hotel. And then next day was Magic Kingdom Day again, and we spent the first half just doing some things Allie wanted to do. We did Peter Pan, Haunted Mansion. I think we may have done Splash Mountain again or Space Mountain. And it was really hot and very crowded at this point. So Allie and Shayna went, they went back. It was about probably noon at this point. We ate lunch at Pinocchio at the Village House. That was the only place that seemed like we could get in within half an hour.
Chicken nuggets?
I think they both got chicken nuggets. They did that.
That's what we always get there.
Yeah, it's like the only thing really that's any good there.
Yeah, and I had a chicken sandwich last time I was there. It was pretty good.
Very good.
Was it pretty good?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I actually walked over to what's the little snack place over there in Liberty Square? I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. Where they had the waffle sandwiches?
Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, Sleepy Hollow. So I went and got a waffle sandwich. I got the fruit one with the Nutella on it. That was really good.
It's a Southern thing. It was a chicken waffle sandwich.
Well, you know, they got rid of the actual of those. All they had left was like
that's right. They
the
did.
Savory
yeah.
ones
shame
they
on them.
Got rid of. I think
that's right. I was really disappointed because I wanted to get the spicy chicken, but I got the fruit one instead, and that was fine. And we rode a few more rides, and then they went and took a break. And I went at that point. I went back to Epcot because I wanted to finish the World Showcase.
Okay.
And I also wanted to go back to watch the first time.
You just
I went,
wanted to ride on the monorail again.
Well, that was part of it. I wanted to see the British Invasion Band.
Okay, they're good.
Man, I'll tell you, I saw them on the Monday whenever I went over there by myself, and it was fantastic. It was a crowd of like 50, and we were all singing along with the songs for the little 20-minute set.
Yeah, because you know them all.
Yeah.
They're from when we were growing up, back on Tudor Lane.
That's exactly. I tell you, they started going into Oasis, which was up by you, and the whole crowd, you know, all the 30 and 40-somethings, we're all singing along with it. And so that was a lot of fun.
That's a good time. That's the hidden stuff it makes the price of admission worth it.
That's right.
That you don't realize all the extras that they give you. Between them and then going to see Off Kilter, you can't do that anymore. But that used to be awesome to have them two playing.
Yeah, and I got to see the Voices of Liberty performing in the amphitheater. They did like some more modern songs. Yeah, they were great as always. And then I think I went to Living with the Land and rode the boat ride there, and I did Spaceship Earth.
Bring back the Skippers.
Yep, and I did that. And then I went back to the Magic Kingdom and met up with Allie and Shayna. And
to end the trip at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, so that was sort of mid-afternoon, you know, kind of late afternoon, early evening. And we spent, my wife has tendonitis in her foot, so she was having some difficulties at that point. So we walked around with her for a couple hours and rode what she wanted to ride. And then she said, she was just going to go back to the room for a little bit. So Allie and I
should have had you going to one of the first aid stations, had them wrap it for
you. You know, I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that at all.
You should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll take. I say, you don't. He listens to the show, but he blocks us out every once in a while. I'm just saying this for anybody. Go to the first aid station. It's usually never crowded. They're all nurse practitioners there. Let them take care of it. Don't go back to the room and spend the money on the Band-Aids and all that. Don't give all that stuff to you.
Well, you know, the worst part of it is that the first day we were there, she said, well, if the sun comes out, we forgot our sunscreen. I said, well, I'm thinking of the first aid station and get sunscreen there.
Yeah. If you get burnt, they'll wrap it. But that's the sad part with the sunscreens. You got to go. They sell it. You just got to go and ask for it at some of the places, especially my wife with the lip gloss. To get the sunblock for the lip gloss, you got to ask for it. It's usually not out for some reason. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, so then Allie and I started doing, you know, I had gotten fast passes for all the roller coasters in the late evening. So she and I rode Space Mountain again, and we did.
I'd be Space Mountain out. I'd be on the train just falling asleep after getting beat up on Space Mountain.
You know,
all those
it's interesting.
Times.
That's the one roller coaster that I don't get motion sickness issues on. I think because it's so dark, I've lost my bearings anyway.
I just feel like I'm a little, you know, I feel like a big guy in a little car.
Well, that's.
I just don't feel comfortable on that thing. I always feel like I'm too big for it.
Well, the reason for that,
and I'm little.
The reason for that is because every adult is too big for that car. I'm convinced.
Yes.
I'm not a big person, but I have to cram myself in there.
I'm 5'10", 180 pounds, and I feel like I'm monstrous in that thing.
So we did that, and then we wanted to watch Wishes. So we got a seat for Wishes and watched that. And at that point, it was probably 10 o'clock. For whatever reason, I thought the park was going to close at 11. So she wanted to go. I told her I wanted to ride It's a Small World, which is one of the things I like to do every time. And so we went and got with
that. You have to get that stuck in your head for the next six
months
until you go back.
Well, that's my magic spot. So we went and rode that. And then I said, Allie, we got to go because we had to get up like 3 o'clock in the morning for our 6 o'clock flight for Magical Express. She said, well, let's just go ride Splash Mountain one more time. So I said, okay. So we took off and ran for that. And it was like a 40-minute wait. And And that was the first time I'd ever been through the full queue of Splash Mountain, because I'd never, just never, I usually went in the first, the morning when there wasn't much of a line. Mm-hmm. So I like that. It's a nice little ambiance. So we did that. And then when we got off of that, it was the electrical parade was going on, which is my favorite parade. I know, Doug, you're not a huge parade person, but
my wife loves the electrical parade because it was there when she was a little kid. So we will watch that a little bit. But I love my wife too. She likes the parade, but she also likes to get around it, it as we go. She don't want to stand still and just get all, because she don't like crowds either. Because you sit there and you think you find a spot that you're going to be alone, yeah, and the next thing you know, you got 25 people pushing behind you.
Yeah, that's it. That is. I'm like your wife. I mean, I remember it from, that's my earliest Disney memory, is watching the electrical parade. So I have to see it every time. If it's there, I stop and watch it.
Just the music is awesome, yeah, to me.
And it was the first time that Allie ever said, hey, let's watch a parade. So she sat down, and so, you know, it's hard to tell your child whenever their eyes are bugged out and they're excited to let's go do a ride because the lines are empty.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we did that, and at that point it's midnight, and we walked out of the park, and we stopped at the sweet store. I forget what it's called now, right there on Main Street.
Yeah, the Main Street Confectionery.
Yeah, and got some cookies and cake pops and did that, and then we
cried all the way
home. That's right. Well, then I put it on my shoulders and we walked back to the Contemporary, and with blisters on our feet and tears in our eyes, we packed up and got up at 3 o'clock the next morning and went to the Magical Express.
That's a sad, sad time when you're walking out of those parks for the last time, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, the only thing that any solace is just knowing you're going to be back, I guess, you know, but oh boy, that is tough on that last day.
It is. When it's all over, when my head hits the pillow, it's very, very sad to me.
Yeah, yeah,
knowing the next day I'm back to reality.
I mean, I'm so bad that halfway through the trip, I'm already getting depressed. Even though I got 3 days left of my vacation, I'm already getting bummed out because it's going to be over soon.
That's the Pisces in you, Dan. I live with that.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. And almost, you know, people around here ask me, why do you go so much, or why do you like it? And I told this to you, Doug, yesterday. I said, you know, the thing about Disney World is once you accept the fact that their entire job, everything is geared toward putting a smile on your face, mm-hmm, and you can kind of just be in the moment and enjoy it, you know, it's hard to let that go when you have stressful jobs and other life issues to not find some happiness and peace there. You know, once you put aside the expense of it and those parts of it, it's, for me, it's just the happiest place to be. And when you have it,
absolutely.
For me, when I've got my daughter, who's just as jacked up as I am, you know, like Doug.
Well, now you got ammunition to help you get down there more often. You're lucky.
I mean, it truly is escapism in its truest form. I mean, when I'm there, I try to, you know, put the cell phone down and kind of disconnect with the real world, if you will. And it's just, you know, you can just escape and enjoy your family or the people you're traveling with, and you know, just get away from it all.
Nah, it's one of my favorite things. I've said it a million times, is just waking up at Riverside when nobody else is up, when the stream is not even moving yet, it's like a sheet of glass, the sun's just coming up. Just everywhere you look is a happy place to look. Everything is beautiful, everything is nice, and that's what I love about it. I do give them credit, everything is to perfection, and that's what makes you work all year. That's what makes you look forward to going back.
Yep, here. I agree completely.
So this has been a lot of fun, Aaron. We really appreciate you stopping in at the Main Street Pub to give us a trip report. You did a wonderful job, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, no, highlight of my month so far doing this.
Well, you were at Disney World, buddy.
Second highlight.
There you go. There you go, buddy. I don't want to get you in trouble. That's your wife and your kid in Disney World. This is the second highlight of your month.
That's right.
So just real quick, do you have plans to go back anytime in the near future? Or
you know, my wife, I had actually, my little brother has talked about looking at Vacation Club, and he was visiting with us last week, and we kind of talked about it. I want to look into it more my wife is not going to, I think she's on the once a year at most plan, which, you know, uh-huh, fair enough. You know, I can't complain. She could be anti-Disney altogether.
Right.
But I figure we'll probably go, I was telling Doug, I don't know that I would go back at this time of year again. It just got really hot and very crowded, more than what we've done in the past. We've always gone sort of September, October in the past,
Right.
And yeah, the longest wait's 20 minutes. The weather's starting to cool down. So, but I also told her the next time we go, which I figure will probably be within 12 to 18 months, mm-hmm. I want to take a day into the water parks again as well, because it's been a few years since we've done that. We've done those, and I enjoy Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon tremendously.
So. Oh, that's awesome. And when you do go, we'll definitely get you back on and do another trip report. And I don't think we've had anybody. Well, yeah, Ella actually was at the water parks, but I'd be interested to hear all about the water parks, because we don't hear much about them.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's just one of those things that, you know, if it's a once in a lifetime trip or once every, you know, 3-5 years, I don't think it's a priority issue. But once you've gone and seen so much, it's just one more reason to justify going again and try something new and have a different perspective.
Yep. Well, you guys seem to have a great time. I was happy that your daughter had such a good time and she was surprised. I wish Brenda would wake me up and put me on an airplane and tell me we're going.
That's right.
You might not.
I'd
like
be
that
happy. I tell you what, at this point, put me on the plane. I'm working 7 days a week. I'll take a surprise trip out of here.
That's right.
So. Thanks, Aaron, for all you do for the show. We appreciate you retweeting our episodes and everything else like that. We appreciate you being a part of our family, the Main Street family.
Absolutely. It's one of the highlights of my week, listening to the podcast.
Well, thanks, guys. You both have a wonderful night. I'm picking up the tab. I got all this overtime in, so I'll pay for the drinks tonight.
Right, Fair enough. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, guys, have a great evening. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.